Very good morning to you all. So let's just commit this time to the Lord in prayer and ask his blessing upon the word this morning. And we are so dependent upon the Holy Spirit to speak to us and to anoint us and to impart something of value into our hearts and into our lives. So we're going to look to the Lord this morning and ask his blessing upon everything that's said and done. Father God, we come before you and acknowledge that you are Lord God Almighty, that you are the omnipotent, omnipresent God. And we ask, Lord, for your blessing upon everything that's said and done. We pray that your Spirit would minister to us and speak to us. And Father, that we would be so conscious of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that you would take the words from the scriptures and make them a living bread to us, that we'd be able to feast upon the finest of the word, that you would take the word and apply it to our hearts and to our lives. Lord, we ask you, Holy Spirit, to anoint the scriptures this morning and anoint our presentation as we look to honor you and bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. This is a little bit different, but I just want to check just before we do anything. Kathy, are you okay? Fantastic. Okay. So this morning, I felt God has laid upon my heart to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's something that I believe that we're going to be looking at for the next couple of weeks, maybe interrupted by the Easter message, but I really feel that God has dropped something in my heart that I would love to share with you about the glory of the Holy Spirit. And so this is really just an introduction this morning about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, which we'll get into in a lot more detail in the days and weeks that lie ahead. But this morning, I realize that we all have different issues going on in our life, and life is not always easy. It's challenging. The very fact that we all locked up in our homes this morning doesn't make life usual. And so we have these different challenges that arise, but the one thing that we can be absolutely sure of is that change is here to stay. And so it doesn't matter what we're going through, you can be sure that it won't last forever. And so I want to just give you a little bit of a background about Saul, King Saul, before he was made king. And we want to look at his life and learn a couple of things. And so we're going to be looking at 1 Samuel, and we're going to 9, 10, and a couple of chapters throughout. But the background that I want to share with you is that Saul was out having a real bad day. The family were going through hard times, and it was an agricultural society. And as a result of them losing their donkeys, that put quite a lot of pressure upon everybody that was in the family. And as a result of that, They went out to search for the donkeys. And you recall, while they're out searching for the donkeys, there was a crisis that developed, because wherever they went, they couldn't find them, and they were searching all over. And as a result, one of Saul's servants had the idea that they should go and speak to the prophet, the man of God, in a nearby town. And Saul had no idea at that time that in one of the darkest times in his life, with their financial situation being really affected by the loss of these donkeys, it was a dark hour. And yet he had no idea that God was going to change everything. God was about to transform Saul's life in the midst of his darkest situation. And for me, that really gives me hope. Because the reality is that God loves and cares for each and every one of us. And he understands when we are going through dark and difficult times. And the Holy Spirit comes and ministers to us and actually takes our situation and changes it. God still does that. He still blesses us in the midst of our trials and tribulations. And so in Saul's darkest hour, God is about to change everything, and he still does that. And so it's kind of interesting. As soon as he sees the prophet, they go to the town, and as soon as he sees the prophet says, tells him that he's going to anoint him to be king. And you can imagine that the surprise in Saul's life when the prophet says to him, "You're going to become the king of Israel. You're going to become the most anointed and most powerful man in the nation." And at the news of this, you'd think initially that, hey, that Saul would be really excited that the man of God has actually said to him, "You're going to become the most powerful individual in the nation." And if you have your Bibles open in 1 Samuel chapter 9, we can look at Saul's response. And it's quite surprising because he doesn't leap around and say, "Praise God, God's chosen me. My life is going to be different from now on." I want you to notice Saul's reaction. In 1 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 21, this is what Saul actually says. Saul answered, "But am I not a Benjaminite from the smallest tribe of Israel? And is not my clan the least of all the clans of the tribe of Benjamin? Why do you say such things to me?" It's really quite interesting that he doesn't rejoice in the fact that God has chosen him and anointed him to be king. He actually says, "Why do you say this to me? I'm really not qualified," is what he's saying, to be this leader. And, you know, I'm really feeling inadequate right now, because, you know, he's looking at, starts to put himself down and said, "Hey, man, you've got the wrong guy here. You know, I'm a nobody. My tribe's the smallest tribe in the nation of Israel, and my family is the smallest family in the tribe. You know, why do you say such things to me? I'm a nobody important." And so Saul is only too aware of his shortcomings, his failures, and his weaknesses to believe that God could ever use them. And, you know, I believe that there's a truth in that, that every time God comes to us and asks us to do anything for him, the reality is that we feel exactly the same way as Saul. We feel, "God, you've got the wrong person here. I'm not qualified. I'm not good enough. Why did you choose me to do this? Lord, I don't feel I'm capable of doing this." So we actually feel exactly the same way. His attitude, or Saul's attitude, was, "I'm a washout. I'm a failure. I'm the smallest of all the tribes and nobody important." And so it's, you know, we often feel exactly the same way because we're not a Christian extraordinaire or a super saint. We think that God can't use us. And so it's very interesting when you actually look at how things transpire, because many people feel just like Saul, that God can't use them. But I want to say something. I want to say that God doesn't choose those who've got it all together. Because they are proud and they're arrogant. They're confident in their own ability. They're puffed up with their own self-importance. And so they are so full of their own agenda that they make no allowances for God. And it's very interesting when you look at the scriptures to see who God actually chooses. Because it's quite astounding. It's not who you would think. God doesn't use the rich or the powerful or the prominent or the famous necessarily. In fact, God, as a general rule, chooses those just the opposite. And we can find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 27. And we read there whom God chooses. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. So I think if God chooses the foolish things, most of us would qualify, yeah? Sorry, Dr. Dye, not you.
Oh, come on, don't be silly.
Oh, finally, we got in. Hi, guys.
Good morning, Anya.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're recording and we're in the middle, so we're just going to carry on. So God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound those which are mighty. The base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. Quite a different picture of who God uses to accomplish his goals. He uses the weak, he chooses the despised, he chooses the rich. And so when we look at that list, most of us would think, well, I could possibly fit into that particular category. And so it's important to understand that God can use us, that we are the ones that are able to qualify because of our shortcomings. You know, the thing is, sometimes we've tried to do something for God and failed. My advice to you is don't give up at that point, because now you've become a candidate that God can use, because he uses the broken. It's only when you understand that God, I can't do this by myself, that God can use you. Because now,
your volume's gone off, Robbie.
Oh, I thought it was mine.
My volume?
You're right. Oh, now.
Back again now.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate that. Sorry about that. So I was just saying that if you tried and you failed, don't give up, because now you actually qualified. You become a candidate for God to use. It's only when we understand that we are not going to be able to do it ever that God can use us, because now he will get all the glory and all the honor. It's God's work in us. So our disabilities become God's opportunities to work in us. You see, the truth is, it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's Christ who empowers us and anoints us to do that which we could never ordinarily hope to do, because he gives the ability and he gives us all that we need, because he is our strength. Who is Jesus? He is the supreme conqueror, the totally triumphant victor, the champion of all champions, the all-prevailing, ever-conquering Christ. No wonder the Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Christ in us is the hope of glory. The fact that you and I have given our lives to Christ means he's come to dwell in us. And when we draw upon his power and his ability, then all things become possible in our life and in our ministry. So here's the lesson. Don't let your disability disqualify you. It's really important. I remember when I was living in England, I was quite amazed at a guy by the name of William Phoebe. He was a high performer. In fact, he won the title in the UK of King of International Sports, which is quite an amazing accolade to win, King of International Sports. And his particular event was diving from the high board into the swimming pool. Now, what makes this particular story fascinating is that he won this event from the high board, but he had never learned to swim. So he was diving into a swimming pool unable to swim, and there were people in the water that would support him and take him to the water's edge where he could get out. So he never let his disability disqualify him. Even though he couldn't swim, he still managed to become the international king of sports and would win the high diving event. See, people were writing him off. They were saying, he's got no chance. He won't make it. And the question I want to ask is, who's telling you that you can't? Who's telling you that you are unable to do things, that you won't make it? Because the truth is, you are more than a conqueror in Christ. You are more than able. If God be with us, who can be against us? And so it's really important that we understand where the source of our strength lies. It lies from the fact that Christ inhabits us and that he is the power of our lives. And when we draw upon that, we are able to do astounding things. See, God will use you not despite your weakness, but because of your weakness. And that's why we are all qualified. That's why we are all able to do things, because we are all inherently weak. We are all inherently we have no strength of our own. But what does the Bible say in 2 Corinthians 12:9? For God's strength is made perfect in weakness. And so by virtue of the fact that we are weak, we become candidates for God's anointing, God's strength and ability. That's why God can use us. That's why Saul was an ideal candidate, because of what God was about to do. I love this. In 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 8, we see a picture of what God does. He says, he raises up the poor out of the dust, and he lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them amongst princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. Amazing picture of what God does. You see, Saul is a humble peasant farmer whom God exalts and crowns as king. God wants to do the same thing for you and I. Maybe not give us a royal throne or a kingdom, but God certainly wants to exalt us for his purposes. God has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us, and that when we submit to that, God is able to bless us and exalt us to the place where we can have an influence, a sphere of influence, and be able to touch and minister to people. So Saul's a humble peasant farmer. And it's really interesting when you read in 1 Samuel chapter 10, this process that goes on. 10:1, it says, Samuel, who was the prophet, took a flask of oil and poured it on Saul's head and kissed him, saying, has not the Lord anointed you leader over his inheritance? This is the guy that was so weak and felt incompetent and unworthy. God anoints and says, I'm going to use you in an amazingly powerful way and anoint you as leader over my inheritance. And Saul, Samuel goes on, and at verse 6, he says this to Saul, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, and you will prophesy with him, and you will be changed into a different person. And that's the truth. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us and we let God have his way in our life, then we can be changed into different people. We can accomplish so much more than we ever dreamed by ourselves, because we have the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon us. So we're changed into a different person. Verse 9 carries on and says, as Saul turned to leave Samuel, God changed his heart, and all these signs were fulfilled that day. So it was amazing. Samuel anoints him. He says, you're going to be changed into a different person. And so that's really the prototype of what God wants to do in our lives. He wants to anoint us and change us to be much more effective, much more dynamic for his plans and for his purposes. And so he wants to change our heart. You see, the Holy Spirit has the power to change each and every one of us. God wants to strengthen and build us up. He wants us to have a new heart and a new life. God wants to use you in your sphere of influence for his honor and for his glory. And that's the working of the Holy Spirit. Saul became a different person. He became a better man. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. If I might just say something at this point, that, you know, so often we try and do the work of the Holy Spirit in other people's lives, and it inevitably ends in tears, because we end up offending people because we go to them and try and do the Holy Spirit's work. Or your dress is too short, or hey, you shouldn't do this, or you should do that. And we have a whole list of ideas of what people should be and shouldn't be doing. That's not our job. Our job is simply to love people. Our job is not to correct them. That's the Holy Spirit's job. That's his work. Our job is to love them and give them unconditional care and attention, support them and encourage them, and give them time to grow. We didn't become the people that we are today overnight. God's grace allowed time for us to grow into the people that we are. And so we should never try and do the Holy Spirit's work by correcting people, because inevitably it ends in tears, because we don't have the insight to know how to approach them most times. And so we need to leave that to the work of the Holy Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit does come upon us, it makes an incredible difference in our life. I just want to look very briefly at a few men who were anointed of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament and see what a powerful change God affected them and in their lives. And the first one we looked at a few weeks ago was the life of Gideon. He was rather a timid, shy, and retiring young man, hiding in the wine press, as you remember, for fear of his enemy. God shows up and fills him with the Holy Spirit and appoints him commander in chief of the army, leader and deliverer of the nation of Israel. From that point on, Gideon's life was never the same, because the Holy Spirit had come upon him. The Holy Spirit had taken possession of his life, and he became one of the most daring and bold leaders in Israel's history, who was transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. This timid man became commander and leader of all. What about David? David was a poor, insignificant shepherd boy tending a few sheep. He really was a nobody. When the Holy Spirit anoints him as king and says, in effect, you're going to live in a palace and become fabulously wealthy. Your name will live on in history for generations to come. Men will talk about your deeds and your courage. Listen, it was the Holy Spirit who chose David, the Holy Spirit who blessed him, the Holy Spirit that changed his life. We need to seek more of the Holy Spirit in our life. I believe it's one of the keys to a successful life in God, is that we are actually anointed and filled with the Holy Spirit when we seek him. So we need more of the Holy Spirit. And I want to urge you, if you want to be used of God, to seek the Holy Spirit with all our hearts, because God is not a respecter of persons. It says that in Romans 2:7. So what he's done for one, sorry, Romans 2:11, I beg your pardon. So what he's done for one, he'll do for you and he'll do for me, because that's the pattern. So we can understand that God can really transform our lives as we surrender more and more of our life to him. I don't know about you, but I realize that I'm not perfect. I may have convinced some of you, no, I'm sure I haven't, but the truth is that none of us are perfect. And we can all surrender more to the plans and purposes of God. We can surrender to the Holy Spirit and invite him to come and do more in our lives. And it's really important, because I believe with all my heart that God is raising up in this end time a dynamic and powerful group of believers. Can you say amen?
Yeah.
It's really important that we understand that God has great plans for this end time church in which I believe that we're living in. And God wants to use us in ways that will astound ourselves, but more importantly, will impact the world around about us. God wants us to do exploits in the name of Jesus. See, the Holy Spirit takes the shy and the timid, and he makes them bold and courageous. He takes the weak and makes them strong. He takes the poor and makes them rich. He takes the humble and exalts them. God changed Saul. When God changes us, it's not a magic wand. It's a process. You know, when God comes upon us, there's normally an outworking of the Holy Spirit's life, and we have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. When he tells us to do something, that's our cue to be submissive. That's our cue to say, to walk in obedience. Even if we can't feel that we are unable to do it in our own strength, that's a good thing, because that makes way for the power of God. God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. So it's a process, and it's designed to be a process to keep us depending on God. And so it's really, as we continue to depend on him, God continues to bless us. If you look at the life of Saul, It's very interesting because he began to become confident in what God was doing through him, and he started to do his own thing, became isolated from the Holy Spirit. And as a result of that, he fell into sin. And this situation was allowed to progress, and he fell deeper and deeper into sin, and it had tragic results. The key to our success is seeking the Holy Spirit and not losing sight of what God is wanting to do in our lives. God is wanting to make of you and me dynamic individuals so that he can use and impact the world for his plans and his purpose. It's really important that we just got the phone going on in the background, but it's really important to understand that God works us in us process. So keep looking to the Holy Spirit. I want to draw your attention to this particular fact. You know, the Bible says that there are over 8,000 promises in the scriptures, and yet Jesus referred to the baptism of the Holy Spirit as the promise of the Father. Quite amazing. 8,000 promises in the scripture, and yet Jesus refers to the baptism of the Holy Spirit as the promise of the Father. He's singling it out as the most significant and most important of all these great promises. That was Jesus' interpretation of the promises. So why does he do that? Because of what the Holy Spirit does for us. He gave Samson his strength. He gave Solomon wisdom. He gave Gideon a courage. So it becomes important that when the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, they turned the whole world upside down. They became dynamic and useful in the kingdom of God. And so the Holy Spirit wants to anoint us. See, the Holy Spirit is the power of God. It's released in us that we might do signs and wonders. And I want to challenge you. You know, we need to be a people of God moving in the miraculous. I believe God gives us the Holy Spirit so that we can do signs and wonders, not for our own personalized aggrandizement or to lift up a denomination. No, for none of those reasons. We are anointed of the Holy Spirit to help hurting, broken people. And so we need to be able to, when the Holy Spirit says to go and pray for that person, we need to be bold enough and obedient enough to go and do what God requires of us. And as we step out in faith, God will go ahead of us and we will be able to move in miracles. And I believe that in these last times, God is looking to build a people of power to change us so that we can change the world around about us. The Holy Spirit brings with him the wisdom of God. He guides us and he teaches us and causes us to prosper and make us successful. He wants us to comfort and encourage us and help us walk in righteousness. So the Holy Spirit comes. Romans 15 and verse 13 says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." It doesn't matter what you need in your life, whether you need hope, peace, power, whatever it is. What you really need is more of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who gives us these wonderful qualities. And I believe that we need to be those that are searching out the Holy Spirit and blessing the Holy Spirit and asking God to use us. You see, Isaiah, the prince of prophets, actually spoke about this Holy Spirit and really the gift of tongues. And he mentions it in Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 11. And he says this about this gift: "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, whom he said, 'This is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing.'" And so the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the refreshing and the rest that God gives to his people. And as we seek the Holy Spirit, we are built up, we're edified and refreshed in the things of God. And I believe that all God's people need to be constantly refreshed and constantly renewed in the power of the Holy Spirit if we're going to be effective in the kingdom of God. speaking in tongues is a wonderful gift. The Holy Spirit revitalizes and refreshes us. He picks us up when we're down, and is a rest for our souls. Remember what Jesus said when in John chapter 7 about this. In John 7 and verse 37, he said this. In the last day that of the great feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." But he spake this of the Spirit, which they that believe in him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. It's the living water. It's the living water, the fresh, sparkling, abundant, unending supply of God's Spirit. It's the refreshing of the Holy Spirit that we need. And there was a time I remember praying for a lady to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and I prayed for her, and I was moving down the line praying for other people, and I noticed she became very emotional, and she was weeping almost uncontrollably. So I went back to her, and I just whispered in her ear, is everything all right? And she said, yes, it's just so glorious. It's just so wonderful. She was being refreshed in the power of the Holy Spirit. She was being touched by the power of God in such a deep way, and she was just weeping because it was so glorious and so magnificent. John the Baptist, when he was speaking to the people, he said, "Indeed, I baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." You know, that's what we need in the church today, is more of the fire of God. Amen. We need to see the anointing of God flowing. And that comes from believers beginning to seek the Holy Spirit and surrendering to the Holy Spirit and say, "Lord, here I am, use me." And as we have that desire to pursue the Lord and press into God and call upon God for the Holy Spirit, then we are able to move in the anointing and experience the fresh fire of God. Now, since coming to New Zealand, I've become a lot more aware of fire, because it's so much colder here than it was in Africa. And we've all sat round a fire in wintertime and seen the need to stoke it and you know, poke around in the fire, because when you do that, you actually, as you stir up that fire, it releases the heat. And I believe that's one of the things that we need to do in the Holy Spirit, that God wants to anoint the church with the Holy Ghost and fire, but we need to stir up the gift of the Holy Ghost in our lives. Because God has a gift that's operating in your life that I need, as I have a gift, hopefully, in my life that supplies something that you need. But we need each other. And so by the stirring up of the Holy Ghost within us, by one bringing a prophecy and another bringing a tongue or an interpretation or whatever it is, we are built up and anointed to then fulfill the work of God. So we need to stir up the Holy Spirit within us, because that's what's really lacking in our lives. If we want a fresh touch, a new anointing of anything, need to stir up the Holy Ghost. Start speaking in tongues. He's just waiting for us to call upon him. You see, the Holy Spirit is the doorway into the supernatural and the power of God. I can't stress this enough. I think it's really important that we spend time seeking God, praying, and praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues, because as we do that, the Bible says we are edified. We are built up. We're strengthened. And so it becomes incumbent upon us all as a fellowship of believers to be filled with the Holy Spirit and anointed of the Holy Ghost, so that we can build the Father's kingdom, so that we can build one another. And in building one another, we can then go out and build the kingdom of God. So we need to stir up the gift within us. Remember what Jude said, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, Jude 1:2. And so we actually strengthen ourselves, we strengthen the fellowship, and we strengthen our ability of the Holy Spirit. When we pray in tongues, when we pray in the Holy Ghost, we become more effective for the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit, God's gift to the church, for empowerment, for the fire, for the anointing. And it becomes really important if we are to be used of God in any significant way that we stir up the gift of God within us. We stir up and start to walk in obedience. As we stir up things in our heart, God is going to reveal things for us that may make us feel uncomfortable. He may take us out of our comfort zone. In fact, I believe that's one of the things that the Holy Spirit does, is he constantly leads us out of our comfort zone. And it's only as we walk in obedience to the Holy Spirit that we grow in God's grace. We grow in God's grace and we grow in his power as we begin to flow in what God is doing in us. So I want to encourage you this week to really start seeking more of the Holy Spirit. Really seek his anointing and stir up that gift. And if God gives you a word to bring in a meeting or a prophecy, or if he tells you to go out and witness, I'd encourage you to be obedient, because it's only as we start to step out in faith that miracles actually happen and the kingdom of God is built. This is one of the most significant blessings that God has given to the church, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's the fire of God it's the anointing of God. And I want to encourage you to start to seek God over the next couple of weeks and months that lie ahead, that we start to really pursue God and pursue the Holy Spirit and develop that relationship with the Holy Spirit in our lives and ask God to use us in ways that we haven't been used before. I'd encourage you to do that. And I believe if we do that corporately, that when we get back together at the end of this month and we've been seeking God and praying in the Holy Spirit and building ourselves up in our most holy faith, that we will come with the fire of the Lord, that we'll come together under the anointing of God, and that the power of God will be released in fellowship. And so this is probably the most important thing that I could leave with you, is that Jesus called that the promise of the Father, the most significant of all the promises. So really look at that and say, God, I want to develop a relationship with you and with the Holy Spirit. And begin to seek God with all your heart. Because it's in doing that we move into the power of the Lord. Remember also that God, the gift of the Holy Spirit can't be earned. It is a gift. We can't labor for it. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. But it's a gift that we can receive. And God wants to give the church the Holy Ghost and fire. And so we need to start seeking God. We need to start praying in tongues and building ourselves up in our most. It's the way that we do that, and it transforms us. It makes us more open to the things of God. It warms our heart towards the things of the Holy Spirit, and we start to see. And so it becomes very important. But receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit and the gift of speaking in tongues, we're going to look at that over the next few weeks and months as the Lord opens the scriptures to us. And I would just ask you to be open and ready to seek God for a fresh anointing of power. I think it'd be absolutely wonderful if when we get back to church and we can meet together, if we all are flowing in the Holy Ghost and we're all stepping out of our comfort zones and we're all stepping up to a new level in God. I believe that we'll have some amazing and exciting meetings. We've had some incredible meetings recently, but I believe that there's another level that we can go to, that God wants to take us. But I encourage you, as we close this morning, to think about pursuing the Holy Ghost, the promise that Jesus singled out from the Father. So let's seek him and ask his blessing as time goes by this week. Let's make a conscious effort to to seek the Holy Ghost. Shall we just bow our heads in a word of prayer? Father, we thank you for the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. We thank you that it's the power of God to change and to transform our lives. We are changed because of the power of the Holy Ghost. And as a result of that change, we can affect the world. We can change the environment around about us. So help us, Lord, to be zealous. Help us to be a passionate people. Help us to be those that would pursue you with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. God, we want you with every fiber of our being. Lord, stir that up within us, that we might move into new dimensions of the Holy Ghost, new aspects of miracles, of power and glory, new aspects of wisdom and understanding. Lord, we just want to move with you and be a part of your plans and purposes for the kingdom of God. We want to make ourselves available and say, Lord, here I am. Use me for your honor and glory. Father, we commit ourselves to being obedient, that when you speak to us and tell us to do things, that, Lord, we will be those that carry out your instruction. So help us to get out of our comfort zones. Help us, Lord, give us the courage and the strength. Those of us that are timid and shy, give us the boldness of the Holy Ghost that we might step out and move in power. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this wonderful gift that is able not only to transform our lives, but has the ability to transform the entire world. We thank you for this precious gift. Help us to use it responsibly. Help us to grow in this gift and in this anointing. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.